Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the first Thursday class of the Chinese New Year Chokao. So we will be having our Thursday class at Sister Padmasuri and Brother Tune's house, because Sui An and Mifong, they already left for India, I think last Tuesday. So we get ready, compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bhun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Ying Pu Sa. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay. You all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of your chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Ramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna Sarapaditena Tamadangsina Tilokadipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudhang Ganda Sambarayutena Dopenahang Suganghina Pujaye Pujaniyampang Puja baja namutamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri para saroruhe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena mateda cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tatayati vinasabhavang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patihan hatu utamang Adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balanced. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripa Jam. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Yeah? We can have half an hour meditation. Yeah? Since today is the 12 a.m. Is it 11? 13 already. Oh, so still within the 15. So those are not married and I still have to give ang pao. I have brought them. So I was told today a lot of young people. Artists, promissory artists. On the light, on the light. Don't off. Oh, one more light on. Okay. So, who are the lucky ones? Come. Don't be shy. Yeah. Qualifier. Yeah. Jayanta reserve one, big one. I think he's the most senior among them. Sahadu. Christy has taken. The rest come. Come. Sahadu. You also. Sadhu. Who else? I haven't given one. The rest all taken, Oh, yeah, the maid. Right. Come. You also have one. What's your name? Linson. You also have one for your good health and good life, Sadhu. So also would like to take this opportunity to wish all Kayamita good health, good life, and good progress along the path of Dhamma, so that you can realize your good and noble wishes sooner possible. Sadhu. So at least I have fulfilled my duty for Chinese New Year to the Kayamita. Then tonight, don't forget to remind me to share merits with all the coronavirus people, so that we really would like to share all merits so that they may recover quickly and they can gain back their normal life as soon as possible, so that the world don't have to be in such situation for too long. If this situation continue, it may not be too good for our planet. But looks like it's recovering. So they say it's supposed to peak today. But looks like things are within their manageable control. I won't say within their control, manageable control. And for the first time I witness, I'm a civil engineer. You can build a hospital complete functional within 9 days. I really take off my hat. I never dream of even finish the design in 9 days, not to say construct and deliver. So this is something that the Chinese government has managed to develop. And all these are possible because people are innovative and they really, really, I think there is this hunger for progress and hunger for innovation. That's why civilization can benefit if it's applied in the proper way for the real benefit of mankind. But if they apply it to negative way, of course, equally disruptive. But the world consciousness will evolve for the better and they will learn from all this. It's like karma. When you don't get yourself entangled, you never wake up, you never learn. So now humanity learns. Every time they get into trouble, they learn from their mistake. So cultivation is the same. If you are mindful, aware, heedful, you can learn from your own life. When things don't go your way, then you realize you must have done something not so correct in the past. That's why this thing keep on coming. But if you have developed the understanding of the true Dhamma and you have cultivated accordingly, your life will be very different, very beautiful. You have more moments of happiness, joy, peace. You have less problem. And as an individual, you will become different. After you have the Dhamma, your life change, your personality, your character, your understanding, they will transform you into a better living being, human being. And you will have good life. And if you can really develop the understanding of the Dhamma and realize the awakening, you can get to live the noble life of an enlightened being, which is the most beautiful ever humanity can have. That is your highest ideal. Okay, now we can have our half an hour meditation, silent awareness meditation. Maybe tonight I will give you some instruction because there are some new people. How many of them are new? Two or three? I know at least two. One young one and one not so young. Never mind. I will still give the instruction. Yeah, off the light, yes. Okay, relax body and mind. The word is relax. You are here to train your mind to develop the meditation. You are here not to torture yourself. Always remember that. So when you know how to meditate, you know how to relax, you will develop the ability to be peaceful, calm, and aware within. And to do it is very simple when you understand. So I will give you some simple instruction. Just relax body and mind. Feel yourself completely relaxed. Relax means don't worry about anything. Just relax body and mind and enjoy the moment. Silence your mind. Initially, when you are not trained, it's very difficult for you to silence your mind. Like the Buddha said, without the spiritual faculties, the five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, the mental hindrance will be there. You will think a lot. So it's not easy to develop the silent mind to meditate. But what I will teach you is some simple instruction that will enable you to decondition your heedless thinking so that you can somehow keep the thinking at bay. The mental hindrance can be temporarily attenuated or reduced. We call it the mind sweeping method. After the mind sweeping method, then I will teach you some form of metta, loving kindness, to develop the well-being and mental states that are conducive for meditation. Then after that, I will train you to stabilize that silent mind through anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So now you just relax, maintain awareness, don't do anything. If a thought arises, just let it arise. Do not try to stop it or develop any aversion towards it. Just relax, body and mind. Then silence everything. Maintain awareness. The awareness can let you understand what is going on. If thinking are still arising, your mind is still not quiet, agitated, chattering, verbalizing. Just let it be. Don't resist. Don't fight. Don't do anything. Maintain awareness. Just aware of it. Aware of it. Aware of it. Aware means the awareness, just aware. Don't even try to know. There is awareness. That's why to meditate is very easy. Just relax and let things be. If you can be aware of your heartbeat, stay there. If you cannot, then stay with whatever object of meditation that you have learned to be aware of. Just stay with it. Otherwise, you can maintain awareness of breathing, the in and out breath, or we call anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then just silent. Then after that, I will teach you the mind sweeping method. You close your eye, make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then maintain attention at your forehead. Feel. Don't think, just feel. If there's any tension, tightness or stress within, just relax it. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Again, feel. Don't think. Just feel. Relax each and every of your eye muscles. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Again, feel. Then relax. Wherever there is any tension, tightness, or stress within, feel it soothingly. Relax. Relax and relax. Then in order to assist you to relax, imagine yourself looking into a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can radiate that radiant smile, there is joy in your heart. And when there is joy, you are naturally relax. That's why when you can visualize yourself radiating this radiant smile, you are naturally relaxed. Then after that, you recite metta, following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within you. Then may I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering. Feel it. Free from all suffering. Free from all physical and mental suffering. May I too be free from all harm and danger. May my mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then we can radiate this same metta to all our loved ones. May our loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we recite, may all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all Kanyanamitas, be well and happy. Well and happy. May their body and mind too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they also be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within the whole of Subangjaya, USJ, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, and all beings within the solar system, extending to all beings within our galaxy, our Milky Way, and finally extending to all beings throughout the entire universe. May they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind to be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Yeah? Then you just relax, maintain awareness within your breath. Means in front of your nostril. This peacefulness of mind or calmness of mind is the meditative state. But in order to enable you to stabilize it, you need something to hold the mind. So I will teach you anapanasati as taught by the Buddha. Anapanasati is a very good way to anchor your mind. You just maintain awareness in front of your nostril, where the breath goes in and out. Then, as per the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just do it. If you are new, initially, you may not be able to do it. You will come to realize that your mind wanders off very fast. Split second is gone. Split second is gone. You are not able to be aware of the in and out breath. But be patient. Every time this mind wanders off, bring your attention back to the breathing. Start again. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. If you maintain this training for a while, not long, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, your mind will start to develop the anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. When anapanasati starts to develop, you will feel a type of peacefulness within your mind. You will experience what they call piti, spiritual joy or spiritual calmness. So when it arises, just relax into it and allow it to continue. Yeah. So just do this training. And for those who already know how to meditate, you should allow the anapanasati to continue until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Until the mind like no more breathing. In between, you will experience the piti, the spiritual joy, the spiritual calmness, the spiritual rapture. And also later on, you may experience sukhang, which is blissfulness of mind. So every time, whatever mind state arises, even peaceful or calm, just relax into it and maintain mindfulness or awareness. That's it. Yeah. Just train yourself in this way until the mind becomes very quiet, very still, like no more breathing, no more movement. We call that the silent mind or subtle mind. The breath has become so subtle, like it hardly breathe. That mind state, if you continue to stabilize it, it will become very quiet, very still. We call it the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, or pasati in Pali. So you have to realize pasati. Then maintain silent, don't do anything until the mind becomes so quiet, until finally the mind will enter sati. When mind enters sati, you will understand, you will know. All the subtle breathing, all the slightest movement within your kaya, your body, will be like magnified. And you can feel them. You are very sensitive at that time. So during that time, just relax, maintain silence, and allow the thinking to slow down. You just maintain awareness, aware. Don't even try to know. Don't even try to perceive anything or recognize anything. Just aware. the awareness and whatever phenomena that arise, just stay there. Where the breath is like no more movement, so stay there, away. Until the mind enters sati. Then the mind becomes very quiet and very still on its own, without concentration, without samadhi, nothing. It just still, no more movement, no more thinking, no more thought, no more sankara. Yeah, that is the training. When you realize that silent mind, that is your meditative state, that is your meditative mind. So use that to develop wisdom, understanding of what is going on within your forming mind. Then you will start to understand who are you, what are you. And you will start to witness all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha spoke of. Within your own forming mind, like the Buddha said, within this phantom-like body, along with perception, thought and mindfulness, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation. Means you can realize the Four Noble Truths, you can awaken to Dhamma. So all these are possible. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then after that, I will set the alarm. After half an hour, it will trigger off. Then I will ring the bell. After you hear the bell, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Okay. you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. This is the time to listen to the Dhamma. This is the time to listen to the Dhamma. This is the time to listen to the Dhamma. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa Hittipeso Bhagava Arahang Sammasambuddho Vijacharana Sampano Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Sata Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabo Venohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect, Triple Gem. Padang Pujayame. ธัมมังปุจเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิ Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Then we can have our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, question and answer session. So the question are the three areas related to meditation, the Dhamma, and how to apply this Dhamma so that you know how to use them to improve your life, to help you overcome whatever life situation or problem that you may confront. You can do that, means you have the Dhamma. Okay, you just have to raise your hand. Then we will pass you the mic. Then you just report exactly how you do your meditation. Then whatever question you have, you can ask. Okay. Anybody? Don't be shy. What about the young people? Christy, your friend is luckily we have a savior every time. Tell me, put up the hand just now.
Good evening, Raja and all Kalamitas.
Yes.
It's a reporting.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Just now when I came in late and then I sit. Initially was not so stable, but after a while, it kind of
settled down.
Settled down. Then it's like
become very quiet.
I feel like a bit like
very
quiet. It's like energy. I don't know whether it's the energy or what. It's like the whole body.
Oh, body start to shake.
I'm shaking, but it's like in the ball that.
I know. We call then, it the energy movement. It's okay. Just let it be. Just let it be.
And when it relaxes, you just become more
stable.
That's
why you must relax and maintain awareness of it. Don't get excited. You get excited, it become more violent. Then if you just relax and maintain awareness, it slow down. That's why you feel you're more stable. Whatever state that arises, always remember, relax into it. The four support for meditation, first is relax into every mind state that arises. Then apart from that, what else? After you settle down, what happened? Did the mind become very quiet?
It was quiet for a while, then towards the end, thoughts came in.
Oh, okay. So what do you do when the thought come in?
When the thought came in, when I do not aware that it's followed, but after that, when it awareness is just like...
When the thought come in, you realize... You lack mindfulness, isn't it? You were not mindful for that period, isn't it? Then what do you do after that?
Aware of the that time my heartbeat was quite strong, so aware of the heartbeat.
You should go there.
Heartbeat.
Go there and let the awareness be with the heartbeat. Always remember, don't try to know. Don't try to know. Just aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. Even the vibration or whatever, even the pounding of the heart or whatever, then just aware, finish, aware, finish. That word finish is very important, no? Don't let the sankhara continue, that's all. A lot of people don't know how to meditate. They think aware means must know. Awareness is not to know. Awareness is aware before the knowing. So just allow it to be. So initially you can feel your heartbeat, your vibration, or like still gross. pounding and all those things. Never mind, then let it be. Then even the sankhara activity, the thought process, the movement, you're aware that it's coming. Don't try to analyze, don't try to do anything. Just maintain awareness. That's why the four support is very important. Jin Hao, help me to rub off the whiteboard. After I will write it down there. I realize a lot of people don't know how to do this awareness-based meditation. It's actually very simple. Don't try to do anything. Because whenever you try to do something, you are making the thought active. Who is doing? The thought is trying to do something. The thought is trying to analyze. The thought is trying to check whether I do it correctly or not. Should I do it like that, do it like that? Once the thought is active, you cannot be in sati. Always remember that. So whatever arises, let it be. Let it be means what? Aware. Finish. The word finish is very important. That moment, the way. Finish. Okay. Today, maybe I want to go into this a bit deeper so that you know. And when you understand this understanding, your meditation progress very fast. Your mind become quiet very fast. So this support for awareness-based meditation is number one, relax. Relax body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then number two is maintain awareness or mindfulness. Just aware. After you relax, you just maintain awareness. Just aware. Finish. Aware. Whatever that arrives, your mind has to pick up something. It can be a vibration, it can be a sound, it can be anything. It can be the thought. Just aware. Don't try to know. Just aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. By doing that, your mind transforms. Then this, whatever activity that goes on, sankhara, thinking, or even the vibration within your body, they will start to slow down. Because when you don't give it any attention, it's like you are in deep sleep. Deep sleep. So all this start to slow down. Slow down. Then the nature take over and heal your body. That's why you like recuperate inside there. Yeah. Like you are like a dead person. You know what is a dead person? Yeah. Cannot respond to anything. But the only difference between a meditator and a dead person is the meditator is still aware. You understand? The awareness is there. A dead person without awareness, they don't want to know, but they cannot know. So, it is a very good form of meditation, but without awareness, you are not meditating. So, the only difference is you must maintain awareness, that's it. That's why number three, the third support is maintain awareness, if possible, for 24 hours. Then the last one is trust. This one later only you do. Yeah? You don't do so fast. You have to become very stable in your first three support. Then until your mind become very quiet, very still. Until your mind enter paucity. And then only you come to this fourth support. The fourth support is when you have realized your true mind. Your silent mind, without thought. When the mind is just naturally quiet and still, without any movement, that is your true mind, your silent mind. During that time, you're just aware around your heartbeat area, your chest area. Let it detect. It will detect your gateway. It will detect. So, without interference from your memory, your conditioning, your thought process, the awareness by itself, which is aware without thought, will locate the gateway. Because this gateway can only be located when you are without thought, when you are just aware. So silence everything and let things be until this the awareness is able to locate that gateway. Then when it is able to locate that gateway, something will happen. Only the meditator who is going through that will understand. But when it happened that time, always remember, don't use your thought to try to do things or meditate. Trust means trust your nature to develop the meditation, the internal movement. The locating of the gateway, everything is naturally by the silent mind, by itself, without any thought. If there's any thought, you cannot locate the gateway. But the gateway is the gateway to your nature, and your nature is the unconditioned. It cannot have thought. Once there is any thought, you cannot do this. That's why just silent, relax, the way, until it detects. Then when it detects, something will happen. It's like all your yin-yang energy, they will start to melt inside that gateway. It will go in, and your awareness will know. Then when it go in, don't try to concentrate or focus or do anything. Just relax. Relax. The more relaxed you are, the smoother is the flow. Then when this yin-yang energy goes through the gateway, it gets transformed into pure energy. You will understand all this when you are able to do it. Then when it becomes pure energy, it is intelligent. It understands what is going on. That's why you don't use your thought to direct it, or to focus, or concentrate, or do any. Don't. If you do that, it becomes thought-based meditation. Just let it flow in. And you will be very surprised. This one is intelligent, the pure energy. It will know how to activate whichever chakra or nadis that need to activate, that the body need to actually activate. They call open, but actually they use the thought. They try to direct it, force it, and concentrate into it. That one is tempering. That one is not the real opening. The real opening of the chakra and the nadi is a natural happening by that nature. The nature meditate. You have to trust that nature. This trust is very important. Complete trust. No more doubt. No need to do anything. That thing will move. And when it moves, the form and mind that goes through that will understand. It is so beautiful. You become so quiet and so still. Like your whole body is perfectly tuned. Just like your car engine, tune until the engine is so smooth, like you cannot hear any sound. Just, but this one is more quiet, more still until completely still, no thought. Then whatever this movement inside, the awareness know where it go, and you will see how it activate. Then the byproduct is gas. You will fart a lot, but no smell. Don't worry. Because it's pure energy. Yeah. And as you go through, you will understand. Then during that time, if it's the first time you're having it, your whole body heal. Whatever sickness or disease, it will heal. Because of the pure energy. Yeah. But don't expect it to last forever. If you are in that state, then you live life. If after a few years, those few years, you will become, of course, very beautiful. You hardly get sick and all those things. You have no problem. Because all these things heal very fast. Like your whatever sinus or cold or what. Last time I remember, I rest 5-10 minutes, I recover. My fatigue, my like tiredness, sometimes I dry. I rest 5-10 minutes, I recover. Then as I age, I realize I need 30 minutes. Then later 1 hour, then later 2 hours, then later to recover from my flu or whatever. Sometimes I need 30 minutes, then 1 day. Yeah. So nowadays I need more than 1 day, overnight. Yeah. That's why you sometimes those who observe me, even when I travel or what, a lot of walking because I don't have much physical energy. So after I walk, I tired. My body drain or my energy, physical energy is enough to sustain my normal life. Not the exercise and all. That's why I seldom exercise. Sometimes I go for a walk, yeah, but I know my body. So what happens is, when I overuse the physical body, I lack energy. My body develops like you sneeze and all those things. Understand or not? It's like you lack that the energy to sustain your thing. Like you overexert, then it will come. But you may see me sneezing like anything, like I'm going to fall sick, knock off already in the bus. But the moment I rest, the next morning I recover, I become normal again. That one is very common. A lot of people who travel with me, they know. So you will have this ability to heal, to recover. But since 1989, how many years? 99, 209, 219, 31 years already. That's why this body is still a body. You cannot expect it to do magic, understand? Despite the pure energy and all those things, a body is still a body. It will have wear and tear. It will develop fatigue, understand? That's why I try not to overuse the body. But I am all the time in a relaxed state. And my mind is very beautiful. Because of that, I can sustain it. I can sustain it. But because I need to spend more time to develop the Dhamma understanding to help people and to conduct meditation, retreat and all those things, even though I don't have to prepare, not like other people need to prepare, I don't have to prepare, but it's still not easy, especially retreat, 9 days continuous, non-stop. And a lot of people, normally after the retreat, they need at least a day or two to recover. For me, I don't need. I go to retreat, my nature becomes stronger. My energy, those who attend the retreat, they know. As the retreat settles down, my nature becomes stronger when I share the Dhamma and all those things. Then this nature, it open up. And when it open up, those who have faith, those who have the condition, they will receive, they will understand what this thing is. Because this pure energy, this vibration, wisdom energy, they will go. And you will receive it during those periods. And this year, I was told there are a lot of younger yogi, which is good sign. We are young yogi, clean slate. Most of them, not so complicated, like a sponge, can absorb very easily. What you need is faith and pay attention. And this year, I will develop it slightly differently because we are going to have this book, a unique code. The unique Dhamma code. I think there are a total 161 code. We are going to print that book soon. I just passed the print copy to Brother Tiong. So I think Pama Surya and he will arrange with the printer and get it printed. I think print about 500 copies. 500 copies. So we will give to everyone. And the retreat. Then I will go through with you all. That unique code is very unique, very special. It just, these codes are very, very important. It is like a very important pointer that give you like a pointer towards the meditation, awareness-based meditation, to understand clearly what the mind is. There are two aspects to your mind. One is the true mind, the silent mind, the true nature within. That one is the unconditioned. So everything is explained there. So if you listen attentively, you understand. The other one is the conditioned arising mind. We call it the mundane mind, your thinking mind. That one is the one that is responsible for karma, for karmic activity. So that one is the one that the Buddha always talked about under Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So when you understand that that mundane mind is responsible for all that exists within the existential world, is your life, your karma, everything, then you must understand the importance of taking care of that mind. Means to take care of karma, you must take care of that mind. That's why you must train that mind in meditation. And this is what we are doing, training the mind to be aware, not to perform psychic anasara, not to concentrate, focus, and develop all the psychic. No point. You train the mind to be silent, peaceful, aware, to develop wisdom, to awaken, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, to insight into phenomena, to realize the three characteristics of nature. That is what meditation is all about. Not to read people's mind, not to fly over the wall, levitate. You know, that one is psychic, thought-based, energy field. The Buddha never encouraged all those things too. And he really do not teach this type of meditation. That's why he teach you the normal wisdom way, the Dhamma meditation, which is awareness or sati. So some people use the word vipassana is a correct word, but very few people understand what vipassana is. Vipassana got two parts, vi and passana. So this vi is actually the three characteristics of nature. Three characteristics of nature. So this one is what we call anicchang dukkhang anatta. Means the universal characteristics of all phenomena within nature. They are impermanent, lead to suffering, and they are non-self or empty. Anicchang dukkhang anatta. Because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's non-self, empty, not you. Then this one is vipassana, is to insight into. So whatever you do in the name of meditation that can lead to this insight into the three universal characteristics, this is vipassana. Understand? So these two become one word, vipassana. Means insight into the three universal characteristics. So when you understand the definition of vipassana, then you will understand vipassana is not a method, not a technique. Vipassana is an understanding that lead to this awakening. So this understanding is very important. Then always remember, the Buddha emphasized a lot on heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 21 to verse 40, the whole section on apamada vaga, means the whole section on heedfulness. So verse 21, 22, 23 are the most important Dhammapada verse on heedfulness. Verse 21, the Buddha straight away point out to you, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. Straight away, you have to understand. If you are not heedful, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance in the spiritual practice or spiritual life. Means you may be alive as a human being. You exist a true life, but you are not living life because you are heedless. That is the meaning. And to the Buddha, you are as if dead because spiritually you are dead. You don't stand a chance to become enlightened. That's why he say the heedless are as if dead. Spiritually, you are dead. Then verse 22 reinforce verse 21. He said, the wise one, they are able to distinguish clearly between heedfulness and heedlessness. They were determined to be heedful. And once they determined to become heedful, they were rejoiced in the realm of the Arya. So distinctly able to differentiate between the heedless and the heedful, the wise one were determined to develop heedfulness. And when they do that, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas or the enlightened one. So if you determine to choose to be heedful, you will realize the enlightenment. That's why you can rejoice in the realm of the noble ones or the Aryas. Then verse 23 confirm 100%. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme born free Nibbana. What is constantly meditative, ever mindful? These two you combine, you become heedful. So the heedful will realize the supreme enlightenment, born free enlightenment, Nibbana. That's why we have to start from here, heedfulness. Even before he passed away, Parinibbana, he reminded the monks, strive on with heedfulness. Again, that word come out. Apamadena sampadeta. That's why apamadena sampadeta. Strive on with heedfulness. Nothing else. Just do this, you will awaken. So if you understand this, in meditation, what must you do? Whatever you do, if you don't lead you to heedfulness, you are not developing the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And what is heedfulness? Constantly meditative means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Then the Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. We are under the Fourth Noble Truth. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Means you realize enlightenment. If you don't realize enlightenment, suffering cannot end. So this is the meditation. That ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you have to train your mind to be mindful first. True or not? That stabilizes it. Then only it becomes ever mindful. That's why ever mindful, constantly meditative. Means ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Starting from right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right effort. Oh, sorry. Right thought, right speech, right action, and four right effort. Yeah. Then right livelihood. Then you have samasati and samasamadhi. So when you train your mind to be aware, that is the first stage, to develop mindfulness first. Then you stabilize it. How do you stabilize it? To stabilize it, you need to allow the mind to silent and become quiet and tranquil and still in a natural state until your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, you realize your true mind. You realize your true nature. And that is the beginning of real meditation. Not until you are able to be ever mindful, you cannot develop the stability of daily mindfulness. Daily mindfulness cannot come. That's why train your mind to be aware first. Then stabilize it through whatever skillful means, anapanasati or whatever. Then after that, the mind becomes very quiet, very still, silent. Then the mind enters sati. Then after you come out of the meditation, everything you do is in sati. Your awareness, kaya, every movement, every action, the awareness and the movement as one. Every seeing is in sati, specific phenomenal awareness. That every moment of hearing is in sati, smell, taste, tactile, and even movement of sankhara activity, thought process, all in sati. You are able to be mindful of it. That's why your mind transforms and becomes very sensitive. The sensitivity of mind develops. And this can only come about when you have followed the 10 steps of the Avijja Sutta. The first step of Avijja Sutta is very easy, to have Dhamma friends. So, as Kayamita, we are all Dhamma friends. We have a lot of Dhamma friends. But there are two types of Dhamma friends. Most of them are the first type. Means, Dhamma friends are Dhamma practitioner or Dhamma devotees, who walk the path of Dhamma. You are just a cultivator, Kayamita, walking the path of Dhamma. The second type of Kayamita is Kayamita that has the Dhamma, that has realized and awakened. The second type, the noble ones, these are very important Kayamitas. You can have at least one of them. It will cut short your training. It will enable you to move very fast. Otherwise, not so easy. You can only learn from those who have awakened, who have gone through the training. Otherwise, if they themselves still have not realized, how can they teach you? They can only share with you whatever they understand. So, having Dhamma friends, you must develop the condition and affinity to have true Dhamma friends that have the Dhamma too. Yeah. And nowadays, it's not difficult. If you are observant, if you have the faith, you can find them. Then after you have Dhamma friend, you will have condition or opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. That one is very important. That's why we establish our Kayamita grouping. We have our sharing, our WhatsApp sharing. We have our website. All our sharing are there. Then when you constantly listen to the Dhamma, these are the prerequisite to become Arya. Having Dhamma friend, constantly listening to Dhamma. Then reflect, contemplate, inquire. First turning is listening. First turning, wisdom. Second turning is reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the Dhamma that you have listened. So these are the first and second turning wisdom that you can realize if you really constantly listening to the Dhamma and reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the teaching that the Buddha had taught you. So if you do this, you will develop the initial wisdom which we call Yoniso Manasikara. Then as you develop this initial wisdom, you will have a lot of faith, a lot of joy, because you realize that the teaching as taught by the Buddha, after you investigate into them, they stand up to investigation. Then after you have developed the investigation, you develop the faith. And the faith will drive you to cultivate. That's why your sati will stabilize. Then when the first and second turning wisdom arise, it will help you straighten your view. Once your view is straightened, you will not react to sense experience like before. Your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, the mental hindrance, they arise because of your wrong view. You don't have the initial wisdom. So once the initial wisdom is developed, that is stage 4 or step 4 of Avijja Sutta. So I repeat, step 1, having Kayamita friends, Dhamma friends. Step 2, having the opportunity to constantly listening to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, to develop the initial wisdom. Step 3 is After you investigate into this Dhamma, after you have listened to it, put it to test, investigate, then it's end of the investigation. Your faith in the Buddha and his teaching become unshakable, enhanced. That is the third step. Then when the first and second turning wisdom arise, it will accumulate into the fourth step. That's why fourth step is yoniso manasikara. After the fourth step, the fifth step is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Means daily mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Without step 2 and step 4, the initial wisdom, your daily mindfulness can never stabilize. That's why you need the initial wisdom. So that when your mind do not stir and react so often, it become more quiet, more peaceful. Do you realize that? Then when you meditate, you don't have the problem of other people. Where your spiritual faculties are there, your initial wisdom is there. Then you know how to relax, you know how to be aware, and you know how to meditate. And you know how to develop the silent mind, the true mind, the meditative mind, that is constantly aware, ever mindful. That's how the daily mindfulness come about. Then you are able to have this peaceful moment. Every moment of sense experience, you no longer react and stir your mind like before. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. All this movement become less and less, lesser, until suddenly one day, you can be at peace with most activity. That's how your stability of daily mindfulness can come about. Then your initial wisdom stabilize until it's very stable, then you can deal with life. You can confront life. With every moment of sense experience, you are different. You no longer stir your mind like before. You become more at peace. You become more peaceful, more tranquil, more calm, more still. Your mind state are different. You have right view. So as you develop this ability, then when you go into the form of meditation and sitting, it becomes very easy. Straight away you go in. Within less than 1 minute, you go into samadhi. The silent mind without thought straight away. Then in the midst of life, daily mindfulness, you also can be in sati, ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's why during that time, your formal meditation becomes very simple. When you relax aware, you straight away go into the meditative state. And you can recuperate. And you can do the fourth support, thrust. Yeah. So during that time, you will progress very fast. Then you will witness a lot of essential Dhamma arising within your form and mind. The Buddha's teaching become very clear to you. You understand very fast. That's why once sati sampajana is there, you will have more and more space between thought. You have less sankhara, more space between thought. Well, when avijja is less, after you have developed the straightening of the view, the initial wisdom, less avijja, less sankhara. That's why space between thought become more and more, more and more, more and more. Until throughout the day, most of the time, you are ever mindful, constantly meditative. During that time, you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, you progress very fast. But after the fifth step, which is sati sampajana, you will immediately be able to have sense restraint. That's why step 6 is sense restraint. You no longer able to break your precept because your mindfulness has become so sensitive, so stable, together with the initial wisdom. So at the moment of sense experience, this initial wisdom will come out and prompt you and teach you how to accept the reality of the moment and how not to be deceived by the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The phenomenal world by the sankhara activity. So all this will transform you. That's why your mind becomes so sensitive. Any moment that the mind wants to react or stir or to develop the fear or the emotion, you straight away aware. And your initial wisdom straight away, Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Dukkang, exists. That's why it can develop the fourth right effort, prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought, prevent the arising of the unwholesome speech and the unwholesome action. So when you can do that, means what? Your sense restraint is in place. Your precept, you cannot break anymore. That's why step six is a natural consequence. Once you have sati sampajana, sense restraint will be there. Your precept will be well kept. After that stage, you are at least a sotapan. Otherwise, you cannot do that. The five precepts, only the sotapan onward, you can retain, maintain them. Otherwise, you can still break them. Then after the sense restraint, because you constantly cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path, that's why you can arise the three types of right conduct. So step seven is having the ability to arise the three types of right conduct. What are they? Right thought, right speech, right action. They are always with you. Once you develop step seven, possibility of becoming a Sakadagami is very high. Because step six already guarantee minimum sotapanaship. Step seven, very likely, is already Sakadagami shape. Do you know the reason or not? What is step eight? Step eight is what? After sense restraint, three way of right conduct, step eight is what? Cultivate. Satipatthana. The four foundation of mindfulness. In the final summary of the four foundation of mindfulness, what did the Buddha promise you? If you cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness, maximum 7 years. Shortest is, I think, 7 days. You will realize at least what? Anagami. That's why when you go to step eight, it's at least anagami. Do you understand? If there is no more that subtle mana, or subtle conceit, let's use the word, you would have become an arahant. Do you understand? The subtle ego. So, step eight, cultivating the four foundation of mindfulness, satipatthana, become very easy if you have done the first seven steps. Because step two, step four, and step five will give you the ability to understand the four foundation of mindfulness very, very easily and very fast. That's why after that, when you really go into the cultivation of Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, it's so simple. Well, your mind has already entered Sati, your daily mindfulness is established. So in the form of meditation, you can realize the understanding very fast. Then all the word inside there, you not only understand the deep meaning, you can understand what really the Buddha meant. That's why after step 8, what did the Avijja Sutta say? You will witness what? Step 9 is what? The seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Do you realize? Once the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising, means what? You are on the right path. Understand? Otherwise, the factors of enlightenment will not be there. But the gullible thing is, a lot of people say they already very advanced in their meditation. Maybe sometimes they even think that they already are there. But when you check, the factors of enlightenment are hardly there. Understand? Not? Sometimes sati, the real sati, also not there. Then what about investigation of Dhamma? It's mainly knowledge, thought-based. the factors of enlightenment, the real one, is different. Sati itself is different. It's awareness before the knowing. It's just that silent mind, aware, without thought. And it's that silent mind that can investigate Dhamma. You cannot use the thought to analyze. That is not Dhamma investigation. That is rationalization. And that's trying to use the intellectual, the thinking, to rationalize and to come out with the knowledge. But the real factor of enlightenment is different. When you have sati, you really see. And when you can see the subtle greed, the subtle defilement, everything, then only you can investigate Dhamma. You can investigate into the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, whether what the Buddha mentioned is true or not. Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if they, you understand very fast, because you have realized the heedfulness, and you know what is heedful living and what is heedless living. You know the big difference between heedlessness and heedfulness. That's why your mind becomes very different. Then when you can see that very clearly, the factors of enlightenment, when they arise, they become so beautiful. Sati lead to Dhamma investigation. And this Dhamma investigation is going into the subtle mind state. Without the silent mind, the true sati, you can never investigate the real Dhamma. Then after you investigate the Dhamma stand up to investigation, your faith becomes unshakable. That's how you have this strong faith that will push you to meditate. And what is that spiritual faculty? Virya. That's why once you stand up to investigation, after Dhamma investigation, that faith becomes unshakable. It will drive you to cultivate. That's why virya is there. That is the third enlightenment factor. And when virya is there, you will experience what? Piti. Understand? Because with virya, your sati will become very stable. Then when your sati is very stable, piti will arise. After piti, you're supposed to go through sukhang. But the Buddha knew sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. It's a distraction. That's why I say relax into it, experience it, understand it, and just let it be. Do not go and look for it. Do not cling on to it. Because that experience of sukhang can be really blissful. So a lot of people are trapped in that. Because every time they meditate, they try to develop that blissfulness of mind. That type of special meditative state. So all this, when you understand, you will not get trapped. Then once you develop piti, the next enlightenment factor is pasati. Pasati is the fifth enlightenment factor. And pasati is none other than the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. Then when you stabilize that with the initial wisdom, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means the collected mind, the unwavering mind. That mind that is so stable, at the moment of sense experience in your daily life, it will not waver. That's why it is always collected. That's why when you have that samadhi initially, with the initial wisdom, that samadhi will enable you to see things as they are. Because it doesn't waver. Understand? Fear, worry, anxiety doesn't arise. And it's collected. That's why it can see things as they are. Means the reality. Then you can see the dependent originating, condition arising, cause of. Then you realize, hey no you, hey no me. When it is not a permanent and changing entity. It's just form and mind, evolving. Coming and going, constantly manifesting, disappearing. Then you start to see all this very clearly. It's only when you have the ability to see things as they are, then you awaken to the truth and the reality. That's how panya, wisdom, comes to be. And when wisdom comes to be, samadhi transforms into equanimity. So equanimity is the last enlightenment factor born of wisdom. You don't need samadhi anymore after that. After that, you can grow old, become very weak, cannot maintain your samadhi, never mind. You have that wisdom, make you equanimous, free your mind. That's why the last factor of enlightenment is very different from samadhi. Those who go into jhana, concentration, energy field, they need that type of samadhi to make them peaceful, unwavering. But that one is not the real one. Where that one, all of the defilements, they are suppressed. The mental hindrance, they are all suppressed, not rooted out yet. That's why it has to be a free mind, completely free, not in concentration, not in absorption, but a free mind, yet collected, unwavering. Because when we meditate, the silent mind is what? Paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent, and that mind is not stable. But you already know that nature. That nature cannot come out to live life. It's the unconditioned. No word inside there, nothing. That's why that one is not a permanent, unchanging entity. That one is a nature within. So that one, you have to realize it first. That's why paucity has to come first. Then when that one is realized, you continue to relax and silent, until that one enters sati. Until that mind enters sati. Means that silent mind is the mind that enters sati. It's always with you. That's how you become ever mindful. Then if you do the fourth support, trust, if you develop it correctly, all this internal vibration will transform. Until your vibration becomes so fine, the pure mind, the pure energy, the wisdom, everything, make the vibration very fine. It is so fine until your mundane mind cannot exist. You know what happened? The mundane mind will collapse like a layer of consciousness. Slowly, slowly, it will slip off, collapse. Then when the mundane mind collapses, your mind becomes the supramundane, very fine, like no mind at all. It's like a whole layer of gross consciousness gone. The mundane mind is gone. Completely gone. But you are not dead. You don't have to go for rebirth and all. Your form and mind, the five aggregates, still there. That one, only the higher beings, bodhisattva onward, they cultivate that nature. The fourth support, trust, that will lead to the transformation. The mundane mind can collapse when they are quite advanced in their cultivation of the bodhisattva way. So when that thing happened, their nature suddenly shine forth. It's like all the cloud all disperse, understand? When there is no more cloud, nothing to cloud your mind, like the sun, it will shine forth. That's why you see the bright sun. Actually, our nature inside is already ever shining. The awareness is ever shining. That's why that one is never born. It is eternalized within. Where this is the original nature, the true nature, the unborn, the uncreated. So from here, when this one shine forth, I still remember in the year 1989, I was so amazed. For 1 week, I sat there. I was thinking, what happened? What happened to my that mind, that thinking mind, the mundane mind? Completely vanished, gone, drop off. Then, like, I no need to practice. I no need to cultivate. Well, that nature shine forth. And I'm constantly aware, ever mindful throughout the day, every moment, and even when I go to sleep. Then things that I never see before, I start to see. And nothing has changed. The world is still the world. Everything is still the same. But how come last time when the mundane mind is there, I cannot see? But once that one is no more, everything becomes clear. That's why I came to realize one very important understanding. Truth is everywhere. in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. The characteristics of nature is always there in the midst of life and nature, every moment, every instant. For those who see, they always see, because that nature is like that. That's why that mind that transforms is very different. And these seven factors of enlightenment, when they arise, step 9, it will guarantee you step 10, enlightenment in the here and the now. That form of mind that goes through all this process and transformation will understand. So that is the real training. That's why today I want to summarize this for you, so that when you go to the retreat, you will know how to develop this meditation. And I need to go through the unique code with you. This time, I want you to understand. The understanding should be deeper, stable, so that when you meditate, you straight away go in. And I can guarantee you, you will progress very, very fast. Even within the 8 days. You may not need 8 days. A few days is enough. 7, now cut short 1 day. It's already enough. With this understanding, you will settle down very fast. And this year also very strange, because there are a lot of young people, new people. And I think it's meant to be. Those who are attending, I saw to you. So the book will come. Even the Heart Sutta, don't worry. You on that day, the briefing, 28th of February, if I do not have enough copy to give to the new people, don't worry. We promise you to print them, the second reprint, before the retreat start. So I think Pamasuri and Brother Tiu, they are working towards that target. So I only need Pamasuri to forward me the format, three more chapter, they very fast. Yeah, you promise me Thursday. Don't worry. Three more chapter is very fast. Before this weekend also no problem. because before this weekend is. Yeah, no problem. No, you can send me the thing first. Then I check through the correction first. I want to update the correction. No, you send to me first. Never mind. The rest you can check through. The spelling check, all those things, I will send to Ingvi and my daughter. Yes, she can spot quite well also. Ingvi also very good. So we need the people to help. The book is so thick. But when you read through, I tell you, very different. Not only different. Even Jin Hao told me, even Kok Lun in Buddha Gaya, he suddenly said to me, "Brother, I understand your short note now." At that time, he cannot understand. Oh, suddenly, the short note become very clear to him. And he is very new. 1 year plus a bit only. I think he progressed very fast. Yeah. He has a lot of faith. And he last time has a lot of problem. Because of that, he came to the class. And he was motivated because of one friend of him, Eric, who was in depression for 14 years or what, 14, 15 years. Then he came to my class, 2-3 sessions only, he came out of it. Then after that, he become very confident, he become like a different person. Then after that, because of that transformation, he was able to get a proper job, a good job. Last time, a lot of fear, scared. Cannot, not able to maintain the job and lose the job. Then later on, he managed to get a good job. Not only get a good job, he was taking this exam. What exam? ACCA. There were one or two papers, he always failed one, failed so many times. He said he cannot pass. But after his depression gone, he confidently went and retake. He passed. That's why he was full of joy after that. Then Kok Lun saw him transform. The last time he also, they all one group, I think also have depression problem, career problem, work problem. Then they went for these motivational courses. You know what is motivation courses are, to motivate you, to make you confident. Then I think they attended many of these courses. They also seen psychiatrists and all those things. So because of what happened, he came to the class, and he became so different. So for those who really have the faith, it is a good opportunity for you to develop yourself. And this teaching can really transform you, transform your life, and let you understand life beautifully, clearly, so that you can get to live life the different way, through the heedful way, no more heedless. So heedfulness is very important. When you are at the retreat, you will understand what heedfulness is. Because when you are heedful, aware, mindful, your mind is so different. It's no longer chattering, verbalizing. It's no longer like heedlessly running wild. You want to control, you cannot control. But when you understand what sati is, and when you develop the daily mindfulness, you realize your mind is throughout the day peaceful, tranquil, quiet, still. Most of the time, very different. And there is clarity. There is silence within. There is energy. There is understanding. Then you start to become very different. You talk less. You develop more daily mindfulness. Then everything you do, you are mindful. When you sit, how you move into that posture, you're aware. The four posture in daily life, you're also aware. Then when you bow, body and mind as one, you have faith. Sada, little virya, then sati. Then you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Then in the retreat, throughout the day, you listen to the Dhamma. You meditate, you chant, you recite, you develop the faith, then you cultivate, you contemplate, you reflect. Everything that you need to do, the 10 steps in the Avijja Sutta, you can finish them all. It's not difficult. And the Heart Sutta book, if I go through with you, you will learn a lot of things. Even you can be very new, you don't worry, you learn very fast. Because now, the consciousness is very different, I realize. The sharing can be faster than last time. Last time, I think the consciousness is somehow different. And last time, the older people are more conditioned, their mind. Less ability to receive new things because of the conditioning. And very difficult to make them understand. I still remember when Jayata came to my Thursday class, first 2 days, he was so confused. He came and asked me. Luckily, he came and asked. He said, everything like the other way around. Then later on, I said, it's normal to be like that. Not only you, so many also like that. Then as you slowly listen, as you slowly develop the understanding, that this one is not what I say. This one is the Buddha say, the Buddha teach. The only difference is people don't know how to link the teaching, don't know how to interpret the teaching, don't know how to explain to you so that it's applicable to daily life, so that you can understand it and use it with confidence. I never add anything. I only share with you my understanding. Then you find out yourself, because it really links, connect everything. But the normal teaching that people teach you is piecemeal. They are not linked. Everything is like separate teaching. Understand or not? Four foundation of mindfulness, like very big topic like that. Vipassana. Then five mental hindrance, like one teaching. Five spiritual faculty, like one teaching. Three evil roots, greed, hatred, like one teaching. Then everything is like separated. Then they like the sutta and all those things. But the ability to link the teaching is the one that can show you the big picture, the whole jigsaw puzzle. You must see them. They are all connected. How from right view all his teaching come about? Then how from right view the teaching connect all the essential Dhamma together? Where they spin off from the Four Noble Truths. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths, the three turnings that develop the three types of wisdom. And from the Four Noble Truths, the three turnings, all the other essential Dhamma spin off from there, come out from there. Especially the Fourth Noble Truth, Noble Eightfold Path. A lot of teaching come from there. Right view alone gives you so much teaching. And of course, right thought, virtuous thought. Then you have your right speech, right action. Then your right living or right livelihood. Then the four right effort is actually a very big topic. Then samadhi, sati. Then how they connect to the four foundations of mindfulness. How they connect to heedfulness. How they connect to the advice of the Buddha. The five daily contemplation. All this we will go through at the retreat. That's why it's very comprehensive. If you read through the program, you will come to know the program is very different from normal retreat program. Normal retreat program is chanting, walking, sitting. Just keep on repeating all these things. Okay? Walking, walking, sitting, walking, sitting. Then of course they have their chanting. And they always tell you noble silence. Noble silence is good, but you must know what noble silence is. Noble silence is not just put the hand in front of the mouth, don't talk. That one is don't talk. That is not noble silence. Noble silence means complete silence of mind. Means no mental chattering, no mental verbalization. Can you do that? The training will make you understand and able to do that. Do you realize it's so difficult to have peace for normal people? Even meditators also find it so difficult to have peace. That's why they do concentration, otherwise they cannot be peaceful. But without concentration, just silent, aware, mindful, you can become peaceful. That is the real meditation. So all this training will be explained to you, and you only have to listen attentively. Then when you understand, you can do it. And it's very fast. And I realized the fastest way, no need method, no need technique, is to just relax, aware, silent. No need to do anything. It can be in any posture. You want to do lying down also can. But the only thing I need you to promise me is don't sleep. Otherwise you become too comfortable, you snore. But later on, when you are able to do the lying down meditation, where you are so relaxed and maintain awareness and mindfulness, initially you will, I won't say lapse, the mind will go into the unconscious, but for a moment only. Because most of us tend to snore. Do you realize that? So the moment, like at the threshold, you are so relaxed, that you will lapse into the unconscious. It will move into the unconscious. But the moment you move into the unconscious, the snoring will come. And that one sound, before you finish, your awareness pick it up. That's how you aware again. Then after a while, it will snore again. That one is okay. But the non-stop one, harmonic one, that one is sleep already. Gone already. But the one, one sound one, that quiet. That one you should rejoice, sadhu, that yogi. Means that yogi has developed it. But non-stop snoring one, that one you know, already unconscious, deep sleep. But the one, one sound one, quiet. That one sound, quiet. Then later on, hardly any sound. You can maintain awareness throughout. Yeah. But no need to tire yourself out. Sometimes the body need rest. Let it rest. Need to sleep. Sleep. Oh my. You can relax. For me, I find the meditation session is the best time to like recuperate yourself, understand? You silence your mind and it becomes so quiet and so still, very fast. Without method, without technique, without concentration, it just becomes so quiet and so still. Like just now when I said, within less than 1 minute, it becomes so quiet. Then I want to help you, or I lie down. No movement at all for the last 14 minutes, I think. After I delivered the sherry, I sat 14 minutes, 20 seconds, I think. For 14 minutes, I was in stillness. I think some of you will know. Normally at home, you cannot sit so well. But when my mind go into that state, those who can really draw or tap, you can feel it. It's different. And many yogis told me, Pertio, Tuesday class at your house, Thursday class, I can meditate very well. I go home, I don't know what happened. Is it, my house? I said, nothing to do with your house. Because you must know, Tuesday class, Thursday class, and even Pamasuri and Bradil here, all this crystal, they can actually retain the wisdom energy. The energy that we share, our vibration. And when we are in a collective sharing, everyone also emit your own vibration, radiation. And when you pay respect with the faith, the saddha, the faith energy go in, the virya energy go in, your sati when you develop, you also go in. Then this wisdom energy vibration, if you know how to listen attentively, it will open up your nature. Your heart area open up without you knowing. After a while, you realize a lot of things that last time you cannot understand. You start to understand. When you read through the short note again, the next time is the unique code. This retreat, first time you get, a lot of you may not understand much, but never mind. After the retreat, go back, have faith, continue to develop the meditation. Then that book you have time to read, read. Don't have time, keep it for a while. 3 months later, open it up again. Read different again. You start to understand. Because that unique code, if you can understand half of it, you are very good. Very, very good. So, understanding half is already very good. Oh, I forgot. You all should thank Ingvi. She was the one who compiled them for me to gave me the idea to edit it and make it into a book. And I didn't know it was 100 over quote until I saw his draft, her draft. Oh, I was so surprised. I thought maximum maybe 30 or 40. Oh, come on, so many. So all these are very important pointers. Yeah, these are the things that my nature developed and it shared with all kilometers. Because at that time, very few people can understand and appreciate those codes. That's why it was seldom noticed by most practitioners until later. The cultivator themselves transformed. Then they realized these codes were very beautiful. You follow the code, you progress very fast. Like last time, I used to share with the Thursday client where Ingvi was there. What type of meditation can teach you to enter paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, without concentration, without method, without technique, without focusing? The free mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, and so still. Who can teach you that type of meditation? Only the Buddha's awareness way, mindfulness way. Of course, he started with anapanasati, where he realized at that time, a lot of monks were sitting on the floor doing anapanasati, where that is also part of the Hindu object of meditation. Then they go into jhana, absorption, everything. Yeah. And he find that useful too, to anchor the mind and those things. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, Kayanupassana, you realize the first category of practice is anapanasati. But the short version, not the long version, do you understand? It's just to train your mind to be aware. Means, anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. Just mindfulness of the in and out breath. That's it. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Then later on, breathing in, experiencing peace, aware. Experiencing tranquility, stillness, aware. Just aware. No need to know anything. Those are the mind state that you have to develop. Then after that, the anapanasati will transform until it becomes very quiet and very still. That's why I say, later on, experiencing the tranquility, the stillness, aware. That is when the mind wants to enter sati already. Then after you have developed anapanasati, means the ability to be aware and mindful, the next category of practice is what? Mindfulness of the four posture, remember? Standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, lying down aware. Then the third category of practice is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all the connecting moments between the four postures, means daily mindfulness. That's why it all tie up with the avijja sutta. The only difference is explained under that four foundation of mindfulness in a different way. Well, that one is supposed to be step 8 only you do. So a lot of people don't understand. They think vipassana is very important. It can lead to enlightenment, become arahant and all those things. So they are so interested in the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why they go straight into that cultivation, not knowing that is step 8. Before you develop the first 7 step, you go there, you are wasting your time. You cannot develop it. Do you understand? And they forgot that statement. No? The opening statement for this four foundation of mindfulness. Every foundation before you start, they always have this word, after overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you develop kaya nupasana, vedana nupasana, chinta nupasana, chitta nupasana, and dhamma nupasana. What is the meaning of overcoming, after overcoming covetousness and grief? Means you got no more covetousness and grief. Do you understand? And how do you have the ability to be in that state? You must finish step 4, step 5, leading to step 6, sense restraint, understand? And step 7. Then only you can have that state of after overcoming covetousness and grief. Otherwise, you still have. That's why to do the four foundation of mindfulness, foundation, you must be at least a Sakadagami, a Sotapan or a Sakadagami. Because four foundation of mindfulness, step 8 is to realize at least anagami. And without the sati sampajana, daily mindfulness, stability of mindfulness, and clear comprehension, chances of deviation is very big, very real. And chances of inability to cultivate four foundation of mindfulness is very, very high. That's why without the step 4 and step 5. Yoniso manasikara and sati sampajana. Technically, you cannot move on to four foundation of mindfulness. But you haven't have the ability to understand. You must have the ability to overcome covetousness and grief. And that one, very few people pay attention to that sentence. Yeah. So now you look at avijja sutta, you look at the four foundation, then you try to link. Then you realize what the Buddha's meaning, deep meaning is. The four foundation of mindfulness is to be cultivated only after you have cleared the first 7 steps, or at least the first 5 steps of the avijja sutta. Means sati sampajana must be very stable. Otherwise, you cannot do it. Without that understanding, a lot of people, I realize, waste the time on doing satipatthana. They are doing knowledge based, thought based, satipatthana. So if you do that, you have to ask yourself, are you really doing it in accordance with what the Buddha meant, or doing it appropriately? Because if sati also you have not developed, sati sambhajana also you have not developed, that's step 5. Or the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, also not developed. You can't really understand satipatthana. That's why for me at that time I was thinking, why? How come I can understand the satipatthana so different from these people who write about satipatthana or teach satipatthana? That's why I remember the final summary. You asking me, the book came out, the last chapter. And it was so beautiful. So everything was summarized inside that. The yellow book, go and read. That one is really beautiful. Okay, we better end. 10:30. Just now I heard my wife alarm came off. This one is slow by 3 minutes. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is a special New Year gift. So hopefully you all can learn from it. Then maybe during the retreat, maintain faith and attentively listen, then cultivate. It will really benefit you a lot. Okay, we must remember to invoke power of merits for the coronavirus to subside. Why they call it corona? Anybody know? Why the virus is named corona? Has it anything to do with that word? No. Yeah. The respiratory corona or something. Correct. I think. Crown? Shape of the virus? I know. Like spike like that. Called corona. Oh, okay. I still, until now, I don't know why they call it corona. Last time, Malaysia was in Nipah virus. Nipah. The scientists, they know how to name all these things. Okay. So let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours. And let us share this merit with all beings. Then let us also invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions so that it may help elevate the coronavirus from spreading. Then let us also invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for all those infected to recover to good health soon. Then may the coronavirus subside within the next few weeks or maybe by next month, so that China and the world can recover from such virus crisis. It's really a crisis. Then if the crisis subside, the economy will go back to normal. Then the world will become a better place. Then this will also teach humanity a lesson to be more careful with what they eat and what they do. The importance of hygiene, the importance of protecting everybody, not only yourself through selfish way. So this is a good way to enforce cooperation around the world for humanity to wake up to the challenges that we are facing. We are not alone. We are all one. So when this virus attack, do you realize Hong Kong demonstration become not important anymore? So all this, you understand, when humanity is faced with great danger, that is the time they come together. But then when they have two good alive, they start to divide and fight and trigger off all the war and all those things. So this is Dhamma. So when you observe this in yourself, when you observe this in others, you learn. And what is the one that trigger all? It's always the ego. Sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. So the egoic mind, you have to realize it, understand it, then cease it. The egoic mind is sustained by your delusion, your ignorance, your lack of wisdom, lack of understanding. So to root out the ego, you don't have to fight the ego. You have to understand how ego arises, how the atta arises, how it manifests in you. That's why through your silent mind you can see all your thought activity, your sankhara activity, your mental intention. Why are they always egoic? How come this thought, not other thought? How come the evil roots are always there? And this is real meditation. Seeing it within your own form and mind, realizing it, and awaken. How it conditions you into negativity through the three evil roots. And all this spin-off from your sakkaya ditti, self-delusion. Of course, behind sakkaya ditti is avijja, the main factor, which is ignorance. Ignorance of the truth, of Dhamma. Okay, so with that, we will come back to the sharing of merits, starting with the devas. Akasata chihamavata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana etta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe daiva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko emena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu Yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, mindfully pay respect to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.
Hosting us for this Dhamma Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Also not forgetting the sumptuous dinner.
Yes.
We have roast one
afterwards. Oh.
So that we can
just now got abalone one.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
It's your own, what you call, human nature within. That one will actually, that is the coming force that inherits it. The life force, they call it the life force. The life force, they cannot heal you when you are actively thinking, worrying. All these emotions prevent them from healing you. It's just like when you are sick, you know what the doctor gives you? Antibiotic. Knock you off, knock you off, then your body heals you. So how to heal you? To heal you, you must be completely quiet. Then the system heals. Means it goes through your organs, like they say there's a clock that goes around all the organs. So that's why they say you must sleep early, so that this nature can heal your liver, heal your other organs. Just certain time they go to certain organs and heal you. So during that time, if you are not sleeping, he resists. Then the thought is there, he cannot heal, he cannot come in. So when the thought is active, you become conscious, the nature's energy cannot move.
I thought I was doing all
right.
Why did I
relax
so much
as I that should be the way. You know, when relax and snore, then that is a good way to relax. If you can relax, you can meditate.
I thought I was surprised that I had this thing. Before I wake up in the day, I think, it's
very normal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. ที่จะนะที่จะนะ